السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. Saturday morning, the 21st of November, another year comes to an end. And Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with this opportunity of joining our listeners, wonderful listeners of Radio Islam International. We have Adil with us this morning in the studio. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning. I think what you failed to tell the listeners is how you launched me.
No, Adil, the offer was there yesterday. Let me make it very clear to all of our listeners out there. Yesterday, before I get to that part there, last week we spoke about, or the week before it was, I think we spoke about the lack of rain and not getting sufficient rain. Of course, yes, we perhaps still need a lot more rain. But in shakartum nazeedannakum, Allah says that if we be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give more. And in this past week, alhamdulillah, especially for us in Johannesburg, in the Johannesburg area, I'm not too sure about the other areas, but from the messages that you received, we've been getting some good rain since last week, Sunday, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. What we do notice, mashallah, is that there's good rain. Yes, there have been some incidents of a little bit of hail damage, etc., in certain parts of the country. But we've got to continue to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial rain.
And I think it's important also, I mean, that now the dua to be made, Allahumma sayyib and nasir, that Allah grant us beneficial rain.
Definitely. And we tended to go into this whole mode of astaghfar and tawbah and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and to send the rains down. And now that the rains have come now, how should we behave, Mulana?
100%. And right through, we've got to keep on making istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah to forgive us for our sins, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. And like we say, I mean, with all the difficulties, so many people recited the Salatul Istisqa, and people asked of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whose dua it is at that time that was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know.
Definitely. I think one of the important points that came out yesterday in the Jummah Bayan, in the Zadwal was that now that the rains have come, it's not that now you stop and you start rejoicing and you start going back to the way things were before. You know, we've got to continue and we've got to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to constantly bless us with beneficial rain, inshallah. This is something that we should realize, that it's because of our actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us those conditions. So, inshallah, we should continue to do good actions.
A very important and very good point that you made, actually, by saying that. You know, I said this the other day to somebody that, now recently, I mean, many of us have received various video clips on the WhatsApps and your social medias with regard to people showing you how is it possible to make wudu with half a liter of water or just less than that and showering. And, people said that while flushing, then use the drain water. And, people gave different scenarios on how you could save water in today's time. And I think it's very important that for now, I mean, the hadith clearly states that when the Prophet said that even at the, you should save water whilst making wudu, even if it means that you are making wudu by a river that is flowing. So this just shows us the importance that not only at the time of drought, or not only at the time when there isn't rain or there is scarcity of water, that we should start saving water. I mean, as believers, as Muslims, we know Allah says that we should never have a waste. I mean, something that goes contrary to the teachings of Islam to waste. So at this time, especially now, would be the real test to see that now when you start having the rains and you start getting your dams start getting filled up, now would be the real test to see now would you now just get back into the masjid, let the taps run while showering. I just had to go for a hot shower. I just had to go for a cold shower. And you just took some extra time there because now you feel, okay, things are back to normal. So this would be the real time to test ourselves. And to say, listen, if we could do it and we managed comfortably at the time when we had the fear of facing a drought, this would be the time that to say, listen, it doesn't mean now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it possible, Allah Rabbul Azzeh blessed us with rain, that now we should just start, start abusing again first.
Definitely. Very, very important point that. We hope and pray, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us beneficial rain and that all our waters, fill up. I saw some photos on, I think, Facebook yesterday. I don't know how old they are. But, the Vic Fall, somebody was saying they dried up. And I actually saw those pictures, and it's amazing to see something that's so majestic, so huge, that's constantly flowing like that, and now it's dried up completely, you know. So
water is literally trickling down. I mean, even by us locally, I think we have to see some of the dams that again on the social media, you're seeing some of the pictures, you know, and certain dams you're seeing puddles of water, and then next to them you see a lot of animals, carcasses of animals, and so it doesn't only affect us. I mean, the animals get affected, the farmers, the crops, everything. It's a whole cycle, subhanAllah, and everything and everybody gets affected like this here. And that is why we should constantly be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Definitely, Mulana. Now that you are out on the...
Yes. No. Before we get to that, you are...
Wait.
Right.
You are out, alhamdulillah, in the countryside, let's put it like that. I suppose you'll also be able to see firsthand. You know, the last time when I was at Willow, I was telling you how dry things are. I think it will make a big difference for you to go out and actually see how dry the land really is. But let's get back to the more interesting stuff. Tell us exactly where you are now and where you are.
No. Let's first get back to yesterday after Juma.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get back to yesterday after Juma. So anyway, now I'm talking to the listeners now. I'm not talking to you at the moment, right?
Yeah.
The
listeners are going to come out in my defense, but I'll give you your chance. Say what you need to say.
I'll give you opportunity as well. So yesterday after Juma, and I'm saying to the listeners now, yesterday after Juma Salah it was, when I went to Solly's Angler's Corner, I went to meet with Tukman some reels that will be serviced. And of course today going fishing, so we had to buy a few lures and things like that.
Mm.
Nonetheless, I met my very good old friend there, Adil Mangli. And I have witnesses there as well, mashallah, where I offered him to join us on a fishing trip for today.
Mm.
So he said, no, you're just joking. I know you're not going to come, and I know you're not going to be coming with me. So I said, no, Adil, the offer is open. I'm telling you, we're going tomorrow. Mm. Come with me. He said, no, I'm not going to make it now. The reason why he's not going to make it, whether it was no visa approval or whether he had other commitments, I don't know that part of it, but the offer was made and he refused off.
The minister that gives the visa was sitting in the car there in the back.
So you mean I should have offered like relatives?
You should have spoken a little bit louder so the minister of visa could have heard and maybe approved it at that time. But in my defense also, I must say, it's very difficult to decide suddenly on the spur of the moment if you are offered a fishing trip in the 11th hour per se.
No, but we decided on the 10th hour, and I mean you were offered on the 11th hour.
Inshallah, next time I must. You know what, Mulana, I can't go on a fishing trip with you without organizing the putt course and things like that, right? So it wouldn't be right. So
everything was arranged. I mean, the only thing that you had to do was rather jump in the car with us.
Ah, inshallah, next time. I won't blame you anymore now. I'm very happy, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And any plans your side, Aziz?
Not at the moment. Last week, my brother and I were at this Woolwater. He's still doing very well there with Yellow, so we might go and check it out tomorrow, inshallah. Coming up today, we've got a very, very, very important interview with brother Adil Kaji, and he's recently coming from an awesome trip as usual. You know, last time when we interviewed him, he was talking about planning 6 months in advance, flying down and, you know, catching this huge GTs, etc. So later on, inshallah, we'll be talking to him, crossing over to Adil, and we'll hear a little bit about his story.
I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures on Facebook of it, Adil.
I've been following. In fact, he sent me quite a few other pictures on WhatsApp as well. You know, Adil Kaji is living the dream, like I always say. So, you can expect something really, really interesting, inshallah. But we'll take him after the air break. We'll listen to exactly, I'm not going to give too much of information. I want you to hear from the horse's mouth, basically, where it is that he actually went and what sort of, you know what, it's amazing. I can't keep it any longer. I'm talking about a trip where you spend 7 days or you spend a week on a boat and you fish from the boat all the time. Now that's something that's unheard of. Imagine your legs when you hit the land after that. So he's going to tell us a little bit about that. But before we go on for our air break, inshallah, tell us exactly where you are going and how far you are from your destination.
Okay, this trip has been planned, overdue for some time now.
Mm.
But unfortunately, for unforeseen circumstances, the one of our close friends that normally come with us, his mother wasn't too well the one weekend. Last weekend, my granny wasn't too well. Then she was admitted into hospital. So things just kept on being put off. And then this weekend, you hear from many places, they're predicting rain and things like that. But inshallah, we'll have a good trip. We're going to, I mean, at the moment, in terms of your best, it's all about going to the Huap right now. So we said, let's go there and try it out for the weekend, inshallah. But unfortunately, we left a bit late. We are going to be staying over till tomorrow. So we said, okay, after Fajr Salah, we left. We're still on the road, approaching Middleburg right now. And we're going to go straight to the waters and inshallah see what's happening with him.
Inshallah, we hope, inshallah, that you have a good trip. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and, you know, that you guys actually do catch quite a bit of fish. And I hope you get good weather. We've heard stories of the warp and when the rain comes and stuff like that. Just take it easy. We have a caller online now. I'm just going to go through to the caller, inshallah, and see what it is that... Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, why do you, Adil and you, why you always blame the minister, this thing, for visas and that?
Aga Babu.
Mistake, dog.
You see this?
Aga Babu, Assalamu alaikum, Aga Babu.
Assalam. Why do you blame Babu. All the...
Aga Babu, you never give us a special service to bonus, so no, we're not getting it right.
Yeah, we have to make application every time.
No, there's no such thing. Your application, it goes through.
Application
you
goes
guys
through.
Are...
We need an agent. You see, we need an agent like Uncle Babu to do the application for us. I think next time we're going to contact him, inshallah.
Yeah, I can make a deal, but you have to pay a 10 this thing. It's a 500 rand for this.
For the application?
Yeah.
I'm sure some guys are willing to even pay the 500 rand to get an application for the visa from the Minister of Home Affairs. But listeners,
I actually got one photo here, no?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna try and locate it quickly. You remember the last time I went to the Huap, there was that one friend of mine, Zain Baird. I told you he never caught any fish that trip there.
Right, right.
Yeah, so now he sent me. It's called application for fishing trip with the boys.
Oh, I've seen that one. Yeah.
You seen that one?
And the Uncle Babu will probably use something like that to get it.
Yeah. No, Zain said next to me, he said, I'm not going to say that. You said this trip will catch a lot, inshallah.
Inshallah, no, he will, inshallah. The warp is a good dam. Alhamdulillah, it's been producing very well. Uncle Babu, how's the fishing on your side? I think we lost him. Okay. Uncle Babu, alhamdulillah, regular.
Another call of ours that I actually wanted to speak to.
Yeah.
In a long time, I think we should maybe shout out to Mali Musa Akudi.
We haven't heard from Mulana. What did Mufti Saab call him? The sporty...
The sporty Mufti. The sporty Mulana.
Yeah, the sporty Mulana. Mulana Akudi.
I actually spoke to Mulana Musa and asked him on the phone, but it was regarding a different issue. And I said to Mulana that in a while we haven't heard Mulana and one of his adventures out there.
I think maybe we should set up an interview with him next week, inshallah.
I think that'll be something very good.
Alright, we're going to go for an ad break, inshallah. When you come back on the other side of this ad break, we are interviewing Adil Qazi, and hopefully Mulana Sajatimal will be closer to his destination.
Adil, before you go, I think for next week as well, maybe from now we can say to our listeners that next week, like you say, we're talking about experiences. Maybe we should say to our listeners already, it's been a while since we heard some frog story.
Yeah.
If you remember what I'm saying.
Inshallah.
Maybe some of our listeners can call us in by next
week. Oh, we were supposed...
Lines open for our listeners.
We were supposed to make it a competition, you remember? Yeah. So,
right. So I think for next week we can do that where they can call us in and they can say how many frogs they swallowed and how many bees they got stung by.
Inshallah. Usama just giving me the eye there. We're going to go for an ad break, inshallah. When we come back, we will go to Adil Qazi and we're back to Mulana Sajjad, inshallah.
Streaming reels on Radio Islam, casting you into the exciting world of fishing. Streaming reels is sponsored by Solly's Angler's Corner, your fishing tackle specialist. Call us at Johannesburg on 011-493-1848. And four ways on 011-465-2937. And now in Rustenburg on 014-537-2107.
That's right, we're back. You're listening to Screaming Reels. The time now is 8:31. This is Radio Islam. International, yeah. Screaming Reels with Ariel Mangli and Molana Sajjad Timol, who's currently on the road. We're just going to wait to get him back, inshallah. And we've got Adil Kaji already online. We're going to be talking to him just in a few minutes. Before that, Molana said that he met me yesterday at Solly's English Corner, and I want to say, alhamdulillah, jazakumullah to Solly's English Corner and that whole group for having helped us. They made a sponsorship yesterday of some fishing tackle that we're going to use for our camps that we do with the youth. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them from strength to strength, inshallah. We can always have a good network and a good relationship, and we encourage one and all to go and check them out, because they've got an excellent line of fishing tackle and just good service, friendly service. That's Solly's English Corner. Molana Sajjad, are you there with us now? You said that you wanted to talk to, that you wanted to put your son, are they there? I want to hear the excitement in their voices. Wa alaikum salam. Who am I speaking to? How are you, Abai? Are you excited because your Abai is taking you fishing? Where are you going for this fishing trip? Dawab, have you been there before? And what fish are you going to catch? I think the line is a bit bad, yeah. We'll wait to try and see if we can get hold of them, inshallah, if we're not, because they're currently on the road to Dawab. Hopefully we might get to speak to them before they reach there, but waiting on the line now, and very, very interesting and colorful character, Adil Kaji. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adil, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How do you like it?
Alhamdulillah. I get very excited when I have to intro you, because you're like, I look up to you. Yeah, last week you were just talking to Adil Matwadia. He's with Kapom, you know, the website.
Yeah.
And we were just saying there's an Adil that's involved in the radio, and then there's this Adil Kapom with his website that's doing very well. But then there's this other Adil called Awesome Adil. His name is Adil Kaji, and he's the guy that does all this. Amazing, amazing fishing trips. How are you keeping, Adil?
Alhamdulillah, all is good.
That's good. That's good to hear you. Adil, you recently went on a really extreme fishing trip, if I may put it like that. Can you give us a little bit of information, background, where did you guys go? What sort of species were you targeting? And what made the trip so interesting?
Okay. So we wanted to do a good offshore trip, and we decided to do the trip to a place called St. Lazarus Banks. Lazarus is an offshore reef system about 160-170 k's east of northern Mozambique, off Pemba.
Okay.
You can't obviously go there for a day and come back, so you've got to go out there. It's about between 9 and 13 hours, depending on the weather, sail to the banks. And it's an area that covers it's about 20 times the size of Table Mountain, 30 kilometers by 20 kilometers. It's literally a reef system that just rises out of the bottom of the ocean. So where the wall falls off, the ocean is, 1.5-2 kilometers deep.
Sure.
And the reef system then builds up. It never breaches the surface, but the shallowest area is about 15 meters. So obviously, when a reef system like that is there in the middle of nowhere, it attracts lots and lots of life. I mean, the wildlife and fish there, it's just incredible. The clarity of the water is incredible. It's just a special place. If you're lucky enough to have good weather while you're there.
And I suppose it's so remote, so you don't really get a lot of human visitors.
Yeah, look, I mean, there are a couple of charters that visit the banks. And of late, unfortunately, a few illegal fishing boats as well. So you do come across a boat every now and then. But when you look around you, it's just water. So it's an interesting experience. Plus, you're living out there, so you spend a week out there, you eat on the boat, you sleep on the boat, you're in tight confines, for a full week. So it's a really, really interesting experience.
Adil, you said you guys set sail. Now, normally we talk about motorized boats in it. Have you guys been on some kind of a different vessel?
Yeah, so we chartered a catamaran, which has got inboard motors as well as a sail.
Okay.
Purely because, you know, a small fishing boat, the sea gets really big. You don't really have the space to sleep and eat and those kind of things for a full week. So you need to take a much bigger boat out. It's not purpose boat for fishing, so you have to work your way around those things. But you need a vessel that's going to be able to handle the weather to get you out there.
Marv, you know what? We were just busy talking to Maulana Sajjad before you came on. I just want to confirm that he's there in case he wants to ask you something as well. Maulana, are you with us? Yeah. We got Adil on the line.
Yeah, I just want to ask Adil, in terms of you know, your preparations prior to leaving and the journey, maybe you could just share with the listeners something about that.
Sure. I mean, I started planning this trip probably last year this time. It's not too difficult to prepare for, given that there are charters that visit the banks quite regularly. So once you get into contact with a good charter operator, it's just a matter of making your own preparations in terms of understanding exactly what you want to do, what type of species you want to target, get an understanding of the area that you're going to be fishing. I mean, I spent a lot of time with the offshore satellite maps and that kind of thing to try and target the areas I thought would hold the fish we were after. And then once you get there, it's a matter of just, you know, putting in the time and working on a plan to try and figure out what the fish want and where they are.
So this, basically, there is a lot of planning and a lot of preparation that goes into something like this.
Yeah. I mean, particularly, I mean, that's fishing, right? If you want to make the best out of your time on the water and make sure that you actually get into the fish you're after, a lot of the preparation goes into understanding exactly what fish you want to target, how you want to target them, and how they're going to be behaving when you're there, depending on the weather, depending on the current, those kind of things. So I put in a fair bit of time just to understand that area itself, and also, I guess, when is the least risk time from a weather perspective. Which months of the year generally have the more stable weather, because many times you'd spend the time getting out there and have to come straight back because you just can't handle the weather. So we were lucky enough, I mean, 2 weeks before we got there, other guys went out, got there, spent a day and had to come back because the wind and the swell was just too big. So we were lucky enough that the weather held out.
Now, when you say come back, Mark Mulana, you want to say something here?
Yeah. I just want to find out from Adil's side, is it seasonal fishing or is it throughout the year?
It's fairly seasonal. I mean, you could go throughout the year and target reef species and those kind of things. But from around August every year, the mantis shrimp that live out at sea start their breeding cycle around the banks. And, I mean, this is just thousands and millions of these things that start getting close to the surface to breed. And that obviously attracts lots and lots of bait fish species, and with those come all the game fish. So shoals and shoals of yellowfin tuna and wahoo and sailfish and GTs. It's just from August through to November, December. Once December comes, obviously it's the rain and monsoon season, so you could still fish, but your risk of having bad weather out there is very high. So the season for peak game fish fishing is fairly short. Early August is more tuna time, but once the warm water starts pushing through from late October and into November, that's more the time when the GTs become more active.
Before Maulana came, I was just going to ask you, you explained to us this offshore, is it an island basically, right? Which is a reef system.
It's not an island, it's a reef system because it never breaches the surface. So it's all underwater.
Oh, so it never breaches the surface.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's basically answering my question. So you are really surrounded by water after having gone 13 hours on the catamaran to get to the spot.
Yeah, no, you're on the water 24/7.
So, like, when you talk about bad weather and the weather turning, you mean you got to now turn back and get, 13-hour, another 13-hour boat ride back home?
Yeah. pretty much.
So you guys had good weather, alhamdulillah?
We were very lucky. I mean, the wind did pick up on some of the nights, but it was safe enough to still stay out there. So we managed to get a full 5 days in.
Now we get to the juicy stuff. Tell us about the highlights.
I don't know if we have enough time. look, it was really special. I mean, apart from the fishing, it's the overall experience. We had a really experienced skipper, good crew, very enthusiastic group of guys who have, prepared to put in the hard work. I mean, when you just look at the pictures, it's like when you watch the fishing shows, you think, hey, man, these guys smacked him.
Mm-hmm.
But it entailed a hell of a lot of hard work. We started, we fished only artificial lure. We were not keen on trawling at all. So we probably spent 12 hours a day casting heavy gear, over the productive areas. And, if you put in the work and you start figuring out what the fish want and when they're feeding and how they're feeding, the results start showing. So, we concentrated most of our time around the shallower areas closer to the drop-offs, obviously for GTs. I just have a passion for giant trevally. So once we figured them out, it was incredible. We figured out certain times of the day they were more active, what type of bait fish they were eating and how they wanted the lures presented. And then on every drift, we would get into them. The highlights were experiencing what we call a pack attack, where a guy would be fishing his lure. It's all surface based, so everything is very visual. You'd be working your lure, and out of nowhere, a shoal of six or seven big GTs just start wrestling each other to get at the lure. And if the other guys are quick enough to get in, you sometimes go three, four guys up at the same time, and then it's just absolute chaos on the boat trying to keep out of each other's way and trying to control these fish. Similarly, we had similar experiences with the tuna, where we'd come across the deep banks and the yellowfin, big yellowfin, from 20 to 60 kilos would be busting up on bait fish. You could never get close enough to them to cast, but 2 days, we watched which way the current was going and decided to rather set up and wait for them. And the feeding fish did, get close enough, drift close enough to us, were in casting distance. And, we were fishing five or six guys on the boat, and all six of us throwing lures on the surface had tuna come up and explode on these things, and we were five and six guys tight at the same time. It was incredible.
Do the tuna and the GTs also do some acrobatics as well, or is it just muscle power pushing you down?
Yeah, they're very different. A tuna is built for speed. They're like torpedoes, so they'd hit you incredibly violently, and then take a lot of line, and they're deep fighters, so keep pushing down, so you've got to really pull hard to get them to get to the surface. But they still don't compare to a GT who's just a dirty brawler. You catch them in shallow water, as soon as they hit you, they go straight down to the reef. Many times, we hooked fish that were just unstoppable. There's absolutely nothing you can do. You're fishing effectively a locked-up drag. You're fishing 100, 120-pound braid, 200-pound leader. They're just unstoppable.
And they break you off.
Yeah, they cut you off on the reef or something. If you don't pay attention to your terminals, your knots have to be perfect. You've got to keep checking your swivels and your split rings, because everything takes a lot of pressure when you're doing that kind of fishing. Your hooks get straightened out. You've got to keep checking these things to make sure that when you do get a strike, your terminal tackle doesn't let you down.
I mean, in terms of the boat itself, how many people, of course, there must be different sizes, but like the boat you guys went on, the charter that you guys used,
yeah.
How many people does it cater for, and in terms of your sleeping arrangements?
So the cat that we chartered was a 47-foot leopard. It accommodates probably 6 to 8 people.
Is that for fishing or for sleeping?
It accommodates 6 to 8 people for sleeping. Fishing, I mean, there's a lot of space. It's 47 foot, but it's also a catamaran, so it's not purpose-built. There aren't fishing decks or anything like that. There's a lot of staying ropes and masts and things like that that get in the way. So you've got to figure out a system that works between the five guys fishing. So each guy finds a little spot there, you know, that's comfortable to cast from and out of the way. But you, you know, you kind of adapt to it. It's still very tight confines to live there. The cabins are very small. In fact, most nights we ended up sleeping up on the deck. It's just more comfortable. So yeah, you got to get used to it. Also, getting used to sleeping on a floating boat when the waves are tossing the boat around is also an interesting experience.
So you're being asleep every night.
You were rocked to sleep, yeah, that's what Moana's saying.
Yeah, well, you can put it that way.
But then...
you were rocked off the bed.
And I suppose you were in a lot of pain also, because your arms must have been finished.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's very, very physical fishing. You have to... I mean, the guys, the group of guys that came with me, we spent a fair bit of time making sure that, you know, the guys put in some time in terms of training physically. For this type of fishing, you gotta have a certain level of fitness to be able to stand out there in 40 degree heat and cast heavy gear the whole day. You know, what we did find, particularly with the GTs, was that you had to be able to cast a certain distance and work the lure in a certain way. So every cast mattered. You know, every cast was had to be 10 out of 10 effort. And if you couldn't put in that effort, you just weren't gonna get a hit. So at the end of the day, it does take its toll on the body. You're holding on tight the whole day. Your joints in your hands and your elbows take a lot of strain. Your shoulders take a lot of strain. Your lower back takes a lot of strain. So generally, unlike any other fishing trip where, you know, in the evenings you all sit around and talk about the day, by 8 o'clock everybody was lights out purely because they just couldn't stay awake.
You're making a lot of people frightened now. Some of the guys are asking, why would you do a thing like this?
I think this pain is a pain of pleasure.
Yeah, it's a special pain, man.
Yeah.
You put in the effort.
You put in the effort and you get the results.
Yeah.
What is the biggest you guys caught?
The biggest GT we landed was around 35 kilos.
Sure.
And the biggest yellowfin we landed was close on 65 kilos. And then we got a couple of wahoo as well. But not giants, lots of barracuda, lots of bluefin trevally, up to about 7-8 kilos, which is kind of trophy for bluefin. Countless numbers of green jobfish, dorado. We hooked a sailie twice, but both times it didn't stay on. And then unfortunately one of the species that we were after was dogtooth tuna. They seem to be a bit scarce, but we did hook two on the trip. Both were, you know, in excess of 70-80 kilos.
Sure.
But we didn't land either of them. I mean, one just, I mean, I fought that fish for 20-25 minutes and it just smoked me on the reef. I couldn't stop it. And the other one, we probably fought for 45 minutes or so, got it close enough to the boat and made one last dive under the boat, and the braid got cut off on the keel. So tricky fish to land, trickier to hook. So yeah, I mean overall it was fantastic.
Did you guys catch any bottom species, or you weren't targeting them at all?
I mean, if the guys wanted to take a break from the popping and jigging, we'd fish for the bottom reef species. Also with lure on light bucktail jigs and smaller vertical jigs.
Okay.
We caught countless species of rock cod and triggerfish and jobbies. There were certain areas where you'd go on shot for shot fishing for bottom species. Personally, I mean, I didn't spend much time doing that. I was really keen on getting as many GTs as I could.
Catching the big ones.
Are you very clear in terms of, I know, you know, there's also, of course, something totally different, challenge to it as well. But in terms of landing those fish, I mean, 35 kg, 40, 45, 60 kg, is that like us? I mean, are we going to go yesterday, probably just need to let it out and scoop that fish out? in terms of landing the fish, what sort of technique and how did you guys do that?
Well, look, I mean, that's the special part about GT fishing is that, I mean, I do a lot of other fishing as well, bass fishing and tiger fishing. The, you know, the big excitement is really in the strike, and thereafter, you're kind of guaranteed that you're going to land the fish. Here, you know, from the moment you hook it until the moment it's actually on the boat, you're never quite sure whether you're going to get that fish out. On the cat, it was a bit challenging because wherever you hook the fish, the only place, because you're so high up, the only place you could land it was right at the back of the boat. So you'd slowly have to fight the fish and work it around the boat until you could get comfortably to the back. Generally, one of the guys would have to jump into the water to keep the line away from the keel of the cat, which is quite sharp. So it's a big risk all the time, especially on a big fish, that if they dive, you're gonna get cut off on the keel. So a guy would have to jump in to just make sure the line is kept at bay from the keel, and then slowly work the fish to the back of the boat. And obviously we released most of the fish that we caught, except for a couple of tuna and dorado that we chowed. So we don't use a gaff. So you try and work the fish past the boat so you can, you know, grab the tail and just drag it up. So you got to make sure that fish is quite tired. The fights are generally short, but very intense. Particularly with GTs, you just you have to pull as hard as you can and muscle them off the reef. You know, if you try and play the fish leisurely, you just don't stand a chance.
I hope you got some leftover of the dorado and the tuna.
You know what? They were on a boat for a whole week.
Fishing,
what do you think?
Fishing makes you hungry.
They would have eaten the whole thing, yeah. Just on that point, since we like food so much, you know, did you guys have like a special cook there to prepare the meals for you? Or?
Yeah, so I mean, the charter operator and the owner of the boat runs it with his wife. So he takes care of skippering and keeping the boat safe, etc. And she took care of the catering. Alhamdulillah, they were very, I mean, I've been talking to them for months to try and make sure that we organize food and all those kind of things. And she did a great job for us. But we ate a lot of fish. Tuna was great.
Tell me something. I need to ask this question because I've always wanted to do this. You know, you catch the fresh tuna, you dispatch it and whatever it is, and then you go in for the sushi. Have you done that?
Plenty.
How was it?
It was magic.
Yeah. I think only few people understand the beauty of that.
No, it was incredible. Every time we caught a yellowfin that we knew we were...
So you had your little soy sauce and you were...
Soy sauce and wasabi and ginger and everything.
That would have been brilliant.
No, it was really, really good. In fact, we even had some of the dorado. We tried it as sushi.
Right.
It was incredible.
Is
really,
it?
Really good.
Adil Mangli would have just been there on that boat just for that part of it alone.
I really like it. I won't lie, and I'm so happy that you did that as well, because now, I mean, you were my hero, but now, like, you know, I need to get in.
I just can't come over the fact that you could actually jump in the water.
That's amazing.
To lose that fish.
I want to ask you about that. You know, normally we go offshore Durban and St. Lucia and whatever, and you have to get the tax men coming and attacking your fish. Have you guys had any experiences with sharks in this area at all?
Yeah, so funny enough, I mean, on the banks, there are sharks, but it's not a problem. In terms of fish getting taxed, we had a couple of tuna get taxed, but those weren't sharks; those were big doggies that hit those fish after they were hooked. We came across a couple of sharks in the water, these oceanic white tips, and we also did come across a very big, probably 3.5-4 meter long tiger shark. But other than that, I mean. Obviously, every time you do get in, it's over the shallower reef area, so you can have a look around to see what's going on.
You don't want a 3.5-meter shark swimming next to you while you're trying to...
Yeah. I mean, that was actually quite a close one, because we had a tuna on, somebody got in the water, and we noticed that the shark had come into the area, so we had to get out the water, and he took the tuna.
Nail-biting stuff. Unfortunately, Adil, we've come very close to the end of the program, but it's amazing. Where are you sitting that I can hear the birds? And
I'm sitting in the garden.
Oh, okay, brilliant. Anyway, rest your muscles.
Again, Adil.
Gee?
I are in Manglitot, you're probably in the waters again.
It sounds like he's somewhere very tropical. Mulana and I are actually on the way to Dawap. You fished there recently?
I fished quite a bit during the spawn and through winter, Dawap.
Mm.
It's good fun.
Any advice for them?
Any advice? Yeah. Special tips,
my advice for the Dawap would be, because of the clear water, try and fish as light line as you can get away with. I mean, we generally did best on 10 and 12 pound line. Don't get caught up in all the high traffic areas. So I know that you'll catch lots of fish at the waterfall, but concentrate your efforts on the far side, closer to the other inlet. Fish deep, make long casts, and fish slow. The bigger fish are generally deeper, 25 to 30 foot of water, so not necessarily in the trees that you can see, but they generally suspend over the trees that you can't see. So around 25 to 30 foot of water. If you fish bigger lures, obviously your chances of getting bigger fish are better. And also switch things up. I think the dam's been taking a lot of pressure, so they're starting to get used to seeing, you know, the same old
watermelon
tankos and those kind of things. Mm. So be a bit creative in terms of what you throw at them, and you should be fine. Also, I mean, we post-spawn getting into summer, so concentrate around the, you know, the deeper water points, the drop-offs close to the bays, those kind of areas. Don't spend your time in the areas where the fish were in, you know, July, August, September, because they would have moved by now.
Mm, Mulana,
we have a good trip, inshallah.
I think that's the best advice that you could have got. I wouldn't have done whatever he said because, you know, we would have probably just followed wherever the guys are fishing and try and fish there. But take the advice. Inshallah, I'm sure you guys will do well. And then next week we'll talk to you about your the work trip. Ariel Kaji, Jazakallah so much for coming on again. We can't wait for the next trip. In fact, do you have a plan?
Gee, there is a plan. I've got something in the pipeline, inshallah. Early next year, I'm doing some homework on Madagascar again, far northern Madagascar. So nobody's really been there. It's quite unexplored. So I'm trying to figure out still how to get there and logistics in terms of getting hold of a boat and all those kind of things. So inshallah, if it comes together, you'll hear from me again.
Inshallah. Jazakallah so much for that. We can't wait for that interview. Keep well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Well, Sajjad, we got 1 minute left. I'm just looking.
Like, this thing is really exciting. You know, I feel like maybe hitting a U-turn and rather going to Adil.
You know, Adil Kaji is like in a different category when it comes to fishing, okay? So we need to be.
Stick with the Dawap and the Ramah.
No, but you see, Adil, what he's saying is he goes to those places as well. But understanding your quarry, knowing what type of fish you're catching, etc., that makes a big difference. I'm just looking at a quick text here. Don't forget, 28, 29 November, Babar Spawn.
Yes.
That's next weekend. We did an interview with, I think it was Hafiz Imran Kaka.
Okay.
So listeners, just remember that, inshallah. When I suggest to my guests who's with me in the studio.
We even said to them next weekend, inshallah, we'll try and call them.
Inshallah. I've got Faisal Patel here. He's looking at me very... Normally, I know you here with me in the studio. I don't know what to do now. Isn't the time for me to go off now? Oh, we lost Mulana Sajjad. I say Faisal is looking at me here.
You got to run out, otherwise I told you, they'll make you headline.
Hey, I better watch out. Mulana Jazakallah, I hope you do well, inshallah. Next week we'll talk to you. Spoke to Farooq Hassan also, inshallah. Next weekend we'll do an interview with him, and hopefully Mulana Musa Akudi comes up. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mulana Sajjad Timol and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.